I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you Monday, February 15th, 5 p.m. Eastern time. What's up, Seth Hughes?
Not much, John. Happy to be here.
Good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you.
I kept waiting for news last week before we would do a podcast.
Yeah, I know. It just...
And then... no news ever came, so we just didn't do a podcast.
Yeah, I thought we would have hired a defense coordinator before February 15th as well. I mean, they wanted to have one, what, by last Wednesday night, and it's Monday, so...
That was the goal?
Yeah, to introduce them at the Georgia game, and that obviously didn't happen, so... Here we are. We have finally actually hired a defense coordinator.
And he is?
Tim Banks.
Co-defensive coordinator from Penn State. What do you know about him?
He is supposedly a very good recruiter.
Do we worry about him only recruiting the, you know, the North?
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's like... You know, I think, well, one, I think that, you know, his, like, main recruiting, like, the reason why Michigan wanted him was because, like, he had gotten more of the top flight players in Michigan than Michigan had. And, like, either this current class, 2021 class, the 2020 class, like, he was just cleaning up in Michigan. So, I think.
In the article I read, it had, you know, all the players basically being like, you know, he's from where I'm from. We know all the same people. It's a great fit. So he's basically going in there and working relationships he has in Michigan, in Detroit, and bringing these kids in there. Do we think he can do that in Tennessee, or do you think he can still build those relationships in the South?
Well, I think that if you can recruit to Penn State, you can recruit to Tennessee. Like, he'll have to build new relationships and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, like, he is a good recruiter. So, you know, that much is certain. So he's a good recruiter we got. I have no idea if he's going to be any good at calling plays. He might be terrible. I am surprised we were able to get somebody like this late in the process and after we had swung and missed on at least three guys that we know of, the Louisville guy, Al Washington, and Matt House backing out last night after talking to Andy Reid. So I was a little surprised we were able to still get a guy from like Penn State who he was happy there. He turned Tennessee down several times in the last 10 days before Tennessee finally just – gave him something he couldn't say no to.
Are we worried about that? The fact that he begrudgingly took the job?
I'm not, no. I mean...
Yeah, either he comes in here and can do it or not.
At this point, like, no, because it's been... Like, maybe if Tennessee could have gone out and got whoever they wanted a defense coordinator, then I would have been a little irked. But at this point, like, with the talent we have on defense and just where we are as a program, like we took Penn State's co-defensive coordinator who really didn't want to leave and had a really good setup at Penn State. So
we don't know how much money he made at Penn State. We know the other defensive coordinator that's been with Franklin since Vanderbilt made roughly, I believe, $780,000. We don't know how much Banks made. I would imagine it was less.
Yeah, I would say he's probably like, what, 500, 600K then?
Yeah, I would say 600K at most.
And so we're giving them 1.2.
Yeah, we're doubling it.
I would say a pretty good offer. Like I would say undoubtedly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Tennessee is overpaying for Tim Banks. And that being said, I don't care. It's not my money. I'm just happy. I remember when it wasn't that long ago when Tennessee wouldn't pay for anybody.
And if you are mad they're overpaying, just add up Just look at it from the total coaches pool. And you're giving Heupel $4 million. So you have a little extra money to splurge on some coordinators. Your whole staff will come in less than, I would imagine, less than $10 million.
Like, I guess Casey Rogers also told us no, so that was four guys that said no. So after all that, we were still able to get a guy pretty well thought of, a pretty good recruiter, had turned down Michigan.
And a guy from USC, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Todd Orlando, yeah, so five. I forgot about him. Why did we even want him? I thought he sucked.
And maybe the guy from Wofford, I don't know.
Concord. It seemed like that was more of a timing thing. He definitely wanted the job. We just...
Oh, yeah, sure. He would have, you know, that'd be a tough scene to leave your team.
Yeah.
The week of the game, the week of the game, game week.
So after everything Tennessee's been through, I am pretty happy with Tim Banks. I'm especially happy from a recruiting standpoint because you also got one of the most prolific recruiters in SEC history as your defensive line coach. So
no chance Malzahn tries to hire him away, right? Unless him run the defense?
No, he's going to hire that Tavares Williams guy or whatever, but
oh, that's right.
Garner's not going to leave, no. Garner doesn't leave. Okay. I mean, he really wanted to come back to UT badly. He was going to come back with Pruitt. Kevin Steele was going to hire him, and then he decided to come back under Josh Heupel. He just wanted to come back to UT.
Happy to have him back.
So, you know, he doesn't leave.
Hopefully he can still recruit whenever we're going to be under NCAA investigation.
Yeah, and he didn't even seem to really care about that either. He just wanted to be back. His wife really likes Knoxville. So we've got a pretty good recruiting staff on defense. I mean, I think you've hired two guys. Both guys are good recruiters. Hopefully Tim Banks can call good plays.
I mean, we've seen a staff of good recruiters before not recruit good enough, so we really don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell this stuff on paper.
Yeah, nobody knows how it's going to be. Tim Banks might be awesome. He very well might be trash. I just think on paper, I'm pleased with it because it seemed like we weren't going to be able to get anybody worth a damn.
All right, a little PCO. A little PCO.
And we did. But that being said, he very well might be awful. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. It's very possible. It's possible this is a big, big train wreck.
So, you know, it is what it is.
I guess the other news of the day would be, what, Gus Malzahn to Central Florida?
So, good for him. Smart of him, I think. Easy job. Extremely easy job. I mean, if you, like he's going to go to UCF, and I imagine win, like, at least 10 games this fall. And everyone's going to be like, wow, Malzahn's an awesome coach. He's going to totally rehabilitate his image in, like, the span of 4 months this fall and be able to go wherever he wants in a year.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, is just, like, It sounds good in theory to take a year off, but if you take a year off, there's no guarantee you get back in that cycle. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, on today's show, I talked about, you know, Mack Brown took a year off and it's ended up taking, what, 6 years off? Gene Chizik probably thought, hey, I'm taking a year off, and he never got another job. So unless you're Urban Meyer, taking a year off is kind of risky. Les Miles took a year off and couldn't get the Ole Miss job, had to take the Kansas job, and obviously has ruined his career. Some people are upset that Malzahn went to UCF whenever Tennessee could have hired him.
UCF's a better job than Tennessee. Who knows if he would have even taken the UT job?
When you say UCF's a better job than Tennessee, you say it why?
In its current iteration, just like for one, in the next 3 years, it's going to be a lot easier to win at UCF than UT. I mean, I just think like, Malzahn is going to be able to...
Go ahead.
I think Malzahn's going to be able to totally rehabilitate his image, and everybody's going to be like, oh, Malzahn's a really good coach. Well, you know, we already knew that because you don't win, like, 67% of your games in the SEC West over, like, an eight-year span if you're not really good. Gus Malzahn's problem was that Nick Saban's at Alabama. Like, yeah, Malzahn had his other issues or whatever, but just think of Nick Saban wasn't at Alabama. Like, Malzahn would have retired at Auburn, probably. And... you know, like, Saban just made life hell for every other coach in that division, and he's a really good coach. He can go win, like, 10, 12 games this year and then pick his job for next year.
Yeah, like, I think for Heupel, the ceiling's so much higher at Tennessee. Now, I do wonder how Josh Heupel would have felt had the money been the same. You know what I mean? Like, if we didn't double his salary. Because for him, trying to make a name in coaching, you know, winning at Tennessee means more than winning at UCF. But for, like you said, Malzahn, someone who's just trying to rehabilitate his image real quick and show that he still has it, he can go down there and win 10 games, and he might be able to jump after 1 year if he really wanted to. Or, you know, wait until Sam Pittman's gone, or wait until, you know, a job in the SEC or a good Big 12 job opens, and he'll be able to go back immediately.
Yeah, that would be like my issue if I was UCF with hiring him, was that he'd probably just going to use it to leapfrog 1 year, you know. But
maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe.
But then again, if you're UCF, you say, okay, well, if he leaves for a Power Five job after 1 year, then we probably had a really good year, and then we'll go hire another really good coach like Jeff Lebby. I mean, you know.
And I'll say he'll have him in pretty good position recruiting and kind of fix what Heupel had kind of ruined there on the talent trajectory.
Yeah. So,
right.
I mean,
all right. Anything else, football?
No. Just, I mean,
then let's talk about this shitty basketball team.
Yeah. Let's talk about him.
Rick Barnes
sucks ass.
Back on the chopping block?
Yeah. Okay.
You uncanceled him last year. Is it time to recancel him?
Okay, explain to me what our game plan was Saturday. Let's just start there. Let's start there. Explain to me what our game plan was Saturday.
Our game plan was go small and then go big and really just hope that the freshmen are really good again, is what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, it was like that, and the idea that, okay, LSU is going to let us shoot wide open threes. Let's just hope we hit enough of them. Spoiler alert, we didn't. We didn't hit enough of them.
The thing was, at times I thought we were shooting pretty good.
I did too in the first half. Like, I felt pretty good about it in the first half. And then, like, in the second half, we just – and then they just were unable to miss in the second half.
For me, I thought it was, like, the last, like, little bit of the first half and then early in the second half. I don't know. Like, you know, there was a good stretch for like the first 14 minutes of the game where we couldn't hit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I mean, that last little bit of the first 7 minutes, and the second half when we cut it to one, it was like, okay, you know, we're shooting it well enough. And then it just went ice cold. I just didn't understand like what our game plan was. Like, yet again, we have seen a team have a game plan against us that revolves around, hey, we're going to try to trap them at half court. You know, we're going to do some kind of zone. You know, like Ole Miss ran that 1-3-1, LSU, you know, pressured our guards in the zone, that kind of thing. And it's just like, well, why don't we ever do anything that changes it up? You know, like, why don't...
Yeah, I mean, when we started pressing LSU, we kind of bothered them for a bit. We should throw that in there, you know, not in desperation mode. I'm not saying do it all game, obviously, but throw it out there every now and then.
That was the thing. Like, we had three turnovers in, like, four possessions, and, like, was it Carl, Ravitch, and Jimmy calling the game Saturday? Carl... or Jimmy, one of them, they were like, yeah, you know, Tennessee, Rick's, he's thrown this wrinkle in and he's had some success. And I was like, well, no shit, but why did we wait until there were 5 minutes left in the game, down 15? Like, why are we just now trying to, like, that's what drove me. I just didn't feel like we had any game plan. Like, we had no counter for LSU and what they were going to do on defense. And, like, it should be very obvious to Rick and the staff what teams are going to try to do to us on defense.
Especially if you've got Santiago Vescovi on the court who can't stay in front of any of their guards. They were just picking on him. That was some of the worst defense I've ever seen. Vescovi stopping at the free throw at the three-point line, trying to break down and get in stance as they were driving right by him to the rim.
You know,
Smart did it like three times in a row.
You cannot have Vescovi and Bailey on the court at the same time because their defense is so bad. Victor Bailey, they put – like, here's the thing. Victor Bailey, if he's going to play, well, he has to be making his shots. And you sure?
Well, he ain't been making them.
And he ain't been making them. And they put him on Javonte Smart Saturday, which is just like, bro, like he can't guard Smart. Smart would blow by him with ease. We know Vescovi's not fast enough. Like, you cannot have them out there at the same time. I just don't understand why we never, like, it just doesn't seem like we ever try to counter or even to, like, make the first move in, like, a coaching chess match. Like, it's always the other team. We saw it with Ole Miss, saw it with LSU. Like, they're going to do something to throw us out of whack. And, well, we don't have an answer. I would, like, Vescovi just shouldn't bring the ball up the court, if you ask me. Like, I just let Springer play point. He makes better passes than Vescovi anyway.
And Vescovi's only useful as an offensive weapon when he's spotting up from
three. Yeah, just let Vescovi be a spot-up shooter. It's like, Vescovi's not going to play point guard next year, that's for sure. Why should he play it the rest of this year? Just let Jaden play it. I think Jaden's a better point guard. Maybe I'm wrong. I would like to see it. I think that, like, when...
I wouldn't mind seeing my boy Devontae Gaines in that game a little bit more.
I would play Gaines over Victor Bailey.
Especially like when you just can't stand in front of other people's guards.
Like, I mean, what Smart was like?
It ain't like Bailey's giving any offense. I understand like spacing and I understand you need shooters, but like Bailey is three for his last 12?
I don't know. Josiah James.
Two for his last 13.
Josiah James has hit more threes on the year than Victor Bailey. And Bailey
can't shoot right now. It's sad.
With significantly less opportunities, and nobody is going to mistake Josiah James for a sharpshooter.
Is this the second year in a row we've been lied to by the people covering the team? Wasn't it last year that Urosh was so great, and then this year it was Victor Bailey killing it in practice, best player?
I don't remember much about Urosh. I remember a lot about DJ Burns was going to be good. DJ Burns was going to be good. DJ Burns was not good. And, you know, we were told Victor Bailey was going to be good, and he's not. He's not good. Like, it's easy to see, like, how he could be impressive in practice or whatever. Like, if he's hitting the shots, but he ain't hitting the shots.
Yeah, especially just, like, in shooting drills. Or if you have tennis, yep. If you have Vescovi guarding.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe last year Urosh had to go against Kumwa, and maybe this year Bailey just got guarded by Vescovi, so he looked really, really good in practice.
Yeah. I would not play Victor Bailey. Like, Victor Bailey's defense, like, it makes me so – like, there were three possessions LSU had Saturday, three straight possessions. We had Bailey on Smart, and he drove right past Bailey every single time. He scored twice on him, at least twice. He might have scored three times on him. But it was like Javonte Smart was playing against air. And I told my dad, I would have said, like, look, you know – here's what I would have done. There's one thing that could not happen Saturday. We could not let – is that if I would have had one goal Saturday, and it's like no matter what, we are not letting Javonte Smart beat us for like the third year in a row. You know? Like,
and it happened.
And it happened.
He kicked our ass again.
It happened. Like, I feel like, you know, Springer had 21 points. I don't know how many points Cam Thomas had, but Springer played really well.
25.
Okay. Like, I didn't come away from that game thinking Cam Thomas is a lot better than Jaden Springer.
Cam Thomas was 11-11 from the free throw line. I guess Springer was 7-9, though, so I guess it's not that much of a difference.
You know, but you just say, okay, we're going to let Cam Thomas get his, but we're not going to let Javonte Smart beat us. And they did. They did again for the third straight year. You let him beat you. I just don't understand. I didn't understand what our game plan was. I did not understand, like, what we were trying to do, like, that game. It's basically like what you said. It's basically like, okay, well, we just hope that our two top flight players are better than LSU, because, you know, well, here's the thing. You need more than just two guys. You know, Pons, I would not play Pons until he's better. But I would sit Pons.
Yeah. See, that's what I was going to say. Like, I'm worried, Seth, that Pons is done for the year in terms of being elite athletic.
Yeah.
And I think he needs his elite athleticism to be a good player.
Yeah. So I just don't know. I mean, you know.
That knee is just not going to go away. Like, it's going to keep swelling up. It's going to keep bothering him. He did not look healthy on Saturday. Obviously, he missed the Georgia game in the middle of the week.
The weird thing to me is that he looked better in those two games after the Kansas game than he did Saturday, like, after he had sat for a while.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the knee's just going to be an issue. Like, I think it's going to take a long time to rest. And do we know what's wrong with it? I just know it's, like, swelling. Do we know what's wrong with it?
I assumed it was from that hard fall he had in the Kansas game. Is that not what it's from? Like,
I don't know. That's what I was asking. I mean, if it's going to continue to swell up, I don't know if there's something that's going to have to get cleaned up.
Yeah, I have no idea what the issue is. I just know that, like, he looked far worse Saturday after he had sat for a week than he did the two games right after that injury.
I just feel like it's going to take a long time of resting. Like, one game ain't going to do it. So, like you said, maybe just rest him the rest of the year until SEC tournament play.
I would. I mean, I would. Like, but if that's the case, if Pons ain't going to be out there, then, well, Josiah James, he has to step up and, like, really assert himself offensively, which he has gotten a lot better at doing that. But I don't think any of us feel, like, great about the idea of, like, Josiah being, like, a dog out there and going and getting points.
I feel good about Josiah just playing the right way, and if the points fall, they're there. Like that's what I've said about him all along. Like I said all offseason that he was going to benefit so much from having good players around him because the focus will be off him. And I thought he's been really good this year. I mean, I know early in the season he might have struggled a little bit, but he's been really, really good in my opinion. And yeah, I don't want to all of a sudden throw him back in the spotlight of, hey man, you got to go get buckets.
Exactly.
Because I don't think that's what he thrives at.
All credit to Josiah for the work he's put in on his shot. It is now a pretty shot. He makes a ton of threes. I mean, he's gotten 10 times better as a shooter since he's been here. You know, like he's gotten so much better on the offensive end. He still can't finish an and one off.
It's funny that you say that as he went 1 of 6 against LSU, but you are right. He is shooting, 34% from three.
There was one three he took Saturday that was ugly. The others were like, he missed them, but like the shots looked good. And then against...
And they kind of rattled.
Yeah, like they were in and out. Like there was one that he like hit off the back of the iron. It looked like he just threw it overhanded up there. But other than that, like the shots could have gone in. And then against Kentucky, he shot... not Kentucky, Georgia. When he had like what? He had like 19 points or something against Georgia, didn't he? He shot really well from three. Like he's gotten a lot better at three. But I just don't know. I mean, like I would not play Fulkerson. He's a complete and total non-factor. I would play Kamwa over him.
Wow. Okay.
At this point.
So we're there. We're there where Kamwa is better than Fulkerson.
I think Kamwa's been giving you more on the offensive end and limited play time.
That was a adjustment that, of course, Barnes was slow to make. They had the baseline dunk spot open. Jimmy talked about it. So did his partner, saying, you know, expect Tennessee to land a couple oops here because they're giving you that baseline to dunk. But when you have Fulkerson in there, like, he's not going to go up and get any alley oops. Like, he can't. By the time he catches, he's going to have to dribble and gather himself. Whoa. He saw, like, a crucial possession. You know, he did that, and LSU's got blocked the shit off the backboard. So, like, Kamwa can easily catch it and dunk it. You know what I mean? Like, at his size, and he's got some burst, like, he could have been just the dunker in that game coming off the baseline, and Tennessee, of course, was late on getting him in the game.
I mean, there was one possession Saturday. This was before he got a shot blocked, where we threw it down to him in the low post. He had to jump to get it, and before he even landed, he had already kicked it back out to somebody in the corner. He ended up scoring on that possession anyway, but like he didn't even turn around and look at the goal.
I know everyone freaked out about that in the game thread. I didn't have a problem with that one just because he was falling off balance. He did get out to a three-point shooter. You know, if the guy shoots a three and makes it, then it looks like a great play. But
that's just not something he does normally.
Okay, in case he falls.
He just has – to say that he has no confidence on offensive end would be putting it mildly. 3 points in eight points in three games.
Yeah, that's the sad thing. I don't know if he's hurt and his hand's just gone, like, you know, where he kind of bothered his wrist, I think.
Yeah, I've wondered that, just... like, because you'll see him randomly at times hold his wrist. So I don't know if his wrist is shot.
I would, too, if I was missing shots. I would be holding my wrist and limping and doing everything.
I don't know if he has COVID brain. I don't know if he just could not handle the spotlight. I don't know what it is, but, like, he looked, you know, regardless of what you think about John Fulkerson, and every year up to this year, when you watched him play, you saw a guy that, like, enjoyed playing basketball, and he played it with a lot of passion, and he played it really hard, and he looks like somebody now that hates every second that he's out there. There's no emotion. There's nothing. He just has a blank stare on his face. I don't know what it is, but I would stop playing him. Kamwa has been getting hardly any minutes, but the last couple games, when he gets in, he gets a bucket. I would play him.
That's crazy to me. That's where we're at. I'm not saying I disagree. That's just crazy to me that, man, Fulkerson's falling to where we want Kamwa instead of him.
I don't know, like...
You're right about the confidence, though. I mean, it's draining. Like, I thought he might try to get it going when he came in off the bench. He scored immediately. It was the best he had looked all year. Got the ball and turned around and scored within 30 seconds. He was active, trying to rebound, trying to get shot attempts. But then, like, you know, after being in the game for, like, 3 minutes, it just ended, and he was back to just being the Fulkerson that kind of is killing us.
Yeah, I was hoping, I thought that after the Kansas game, like, he had turned the corner because I felt like he played pretty well. That's when Pons played so well, was that Kansas game. But like since then, I mean, he's given you nothing. He had 11-6, shot 5 of 8 against Kansas. I kind of felt like, okay, maybe he's finally turned the corner. No, he hasn't. He's been awful ever since then. He really, to say that he gives you nothing is like the truth. I mean, 8 points over 3 games. 8 points in the last 3 games. Like, I mean,
I love Aaron Torres acting like we made a big mistake by acting like they were going to be like Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield.
Nobody acted like that. I saw that tweet. Like, dude, our hope was based off the fact that we had one surefire lottery pick, another guy that has a good chance of being a lottery pick or did come in the season. I don't know what Springer's current draft stats are. The reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year and a guy who was second team All-SEC last year.
No one thought that was going to be Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. Those are the straw men of all straw men. No one thought that.
Like, nobody assumed that, man. Like, we thought we were going to be awesome because of our two NBA players that are freshmen.
And having, like you said, two other good seniors, not great seniors.
Good upperclassmen, yeah. Like, but, I mean, Fulkerson's just completely regressed, and Pons, when he has been healthy, he's never really asserted himself offensively like I thought he should.
No, he's still been, you know, a menace on defense, but the offense just hasn't come. I would imagine Pons regrets coming back to school. I thought he should have tried to go pro, but the no combine at the – or no, like, you know, combine for the draft kind of killed him because of how athletic he is, and he obviously hasn't done anything to improve his stock. He hasn't gotten any better offensively, and big mistake. And now, like, this is what I've been saying, everybody, and I just want to address the haters for 1 second. All you haters that talked about Rick Barnes is such a developer because of what he did with Admiral and Grant. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and say I was right by saying I think just those two might be special. Them with their work ethic and the way they've gotten better, because we're not making any argument this year that Fulkerson's gotten better, right?
No.
Pons, I don't think, has gotten any better.
I wouldn't know. We wouldn't know because he never shoots the ball. I mean, I think Pons.
You feel like Vescovi's gotten a lot better?
No, Vescovi's slow. I think Kamwa and Josiah James have gotten a lot better.
Kamwa's gotten a little better.
Okay, a little.
I think you're overrating him a little.
Okay,
bit.
Yeah, a little's like, fine.
Sure. Josiah's gotten better, but Josiah's also a 5-star. So, like, I don't know how much development is there in terms of just having the raw talent to make you a 5-star. Eventually, you start figuring out. And I thought Josiah was good last year, just had shitty teammates. So
Josiah couldn't shoot last year, though.
Sure. I mean, he's shooting worse from three this year than he was last year, despite what you said.
But he's a much better shooter, and you know it. Like, the last month,
he's more confident as a shooter. That's fine. I'm just saying he's shooting a lower percentage.
The last month, I mean, like, against, was it Georgia, where he actually, like, that was the first time ever against Georgia where I felt like he actually hunted his own shot.
Yep, 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 4 from three, played a really good game.
Like, 16, you know, we hadn't seen that from him. I think Rick Barnes is a good developer. Like, my issues with him go far beyond the development. Like, yeah, he's a good developer, but that doesn't mean anything when it comes into the game and you constantly just shit all over yourself. Like, he's a very good developer. I have no argument with that. Okay, but why do we never make an adjustment coaching-wise?
I do have an argument about it. I don't feel like he's that good of a developer either, to be honest. But I also think he is even worse at in-game coaching.
Like, we never counter what the other team is doing, it seems to me. We haven't this year, at least. I mean, like, we went for the second straight year into the season without a point guard.
Roster construction has been a little questionable.
Yeah, like, of all the things to, like, ding Rick Barnes about, like, development's probably last on the list, I think, for anyone, even if you don't think he's that good of a developer. Like, roster,
that is fine. I do think he is a worse in-game coach.
Like, roster construction has been terrible the last 2 years. We've tried to play literally 2 straight years in a row without a true point guard. I mean, like,
Or a center.
Like, and
like, Fulkerson shouldn't be a center. Like, I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, well, you know.
And, you know, since Kyle Alexander left, you haven't had a center. And since Jordan Bone left, you haven't had a point guard. And I'm not going to, like, I mean, Springer can play point guard.
He's not a true point guard.
I know, but I'm not going to be upset about them playing him and Keon together, I guess. Like, to me, the big man this year, like, again, like, your grad transfer was Anasicki. Like, seriously, you couldn't have done better than that. It's two straight years you couldn't address the need.
Was there any good, like, I mean, we could have definitely used Davion Mintz at Kentucky, I feel like.
And there was Sar. Wasn't Sar? Wasn't he the guy from?
Yeah, Sar's been good. Sar's been good. Yeah, but, like, there was nobody that was, like, as good as I thought. You know, I don't think Sar's been nearly as good as people thought he would be. I mean, Anasicki definitely hasn't been as good as people thought he was going to be. Like, you know, I mean, the Kennedy Chandler is, a ball account's really good. He's coming a year late, unfortunately.
If I'm Kennedy Chandler, I'm going to the G League.
He's coming a year late, unfortunately. So.
OG Matt says first round exit. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
First weekend exit. Agree or disagree?
Coin flip.
That's how I feel. I said it's 50-50.
This team, like, right now, what? Even they're still slated for a 4 seed.
Yeah, if, that means that second round game is going
to
be pretty tough.
So that to me means, like, okay, they're going to get a 3 or 4 seed. They're going to beat some 13, 14 seed. But then when they have to play a 5 seed or they have to play a 6 seed, then I say coin flip. Then it's just entirely random to me, like, what Tennessee team shows up. If it's a Tennessee team where they just randomly start hitting their shots like they have at points, then okay, sure, we'll make the Sweet 16. I wouldn't bet on that. I don't feel confident about that.
I'm worried if we run to a 13 seed that can shoot as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could. I mean, I don't think it's a lock we win, but I don't think we'll exit in the first round unless we fall to a 5 seed.
All right, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. $5 and up gets you access to the Discord. And we did a little video chatting here. The game threads have been a miserable existence when we lose and fun when we win. New $5 patron, shout out to Ross.
Shout out to Brother Ross. We love you and appreciate you.
And that's it. That's all this week. Let's get to some questions. Any of them caught your eye?
Brother Chad asked top 5 non-U.S. countries to live in. New Zealand, Singapore.
Singapore is number 2?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Explain. Because when I grew, you know, I just grew up hearing about, you know, the canings when I was like six years old. So I've always been scared of Singapore.
Yeah, you know why canings are a good thing? There's no crime. Zero crime. You can leave your front door unlocked. You can leave your front door open and go out for the night. You come back, nothing's going to be stolen. I would put Japan in that top five as well. So New Zealand, Singapore, Japan. I might go Germany. Denmark would be in the top 5. And then the 5th spot, I don't know, probably a Scandinavian country. That's in no order, but that would be my top 5.
Okay. I don't really have any thoughts about countries to live in. So we'll go with Seth's list.
Brother Slim, a.k.a. Diesel, your house has to smell like one thing for a month. What smell are you choosing?
So your house is going to smell like this for an entire month.
Yeah.
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. Like, vanilla smells good. Probably for me, like, some fir trees or, like, some pine trees or something. Something foresty. You know, some kind of...
It's like you're out in the woods.
Yeah, I just like that smell.
Okay.
That would be my...
I mean, you can do that pretty easily. All you gotta do is just get a bunch of those new car things.
Like,
hang them up around your house.
The Yankee Candle I've been rocking lately is balsam and cedar. So I really like that. So that's a pretty good smell. Probably something like that, you know.
Okay.
Brother OG Matt, your woman can cheat on you with one SEC football coach. Who are you most and least okay with it being? I think I would probably be most upset if she cheated on me with Eli Drinkwitz. Or maybe he seems like a big nerd. Maybe Sam Pittman would suck too.
Sam Pittman in her guts just going, yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Yes, I don't know.
Just all in her guts, kissing on her, oinking like a pig, calling the pigs. Sam Pittman seems like a nice guy, though, at least.
Yeah, he does. He would be nice to her, you know. I don't know. I don't know. That's not a question I've devoted much thought to.
I don't have a woman. I'm coming to the realization that I am the common denominator in all of my problems. I need to work on myself, I think. I've got a lot of, you know, at a certain point you just have to realize that, you know, Seth?
Yeah.
All of your troubles, all of your failed relationships, you are the common denominator. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I've been blaming everyone else. Maybe it's a me problem.
Yeah.
But if I did have a woman, I would be completely okay. Or no, let me take that back. I don't want to sound like a cuckold. I would be most okay, if I had to be okay with something, with Nick Saban. Nick Saban. He's a winner. He's a smooth talker. At least he's, you know, he's handsome. He's older. Maybe there's just some, like, issues there, you know what I mean? Like an old man issue,
mm-hmm.
some daddy issues. He would never leave Terry.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about that. He would never leave Terry. It'd just be like a one-time thing. Least okay, I'd be least okay with it being Josh Heupel. For the same reason I think you were least okay with it being Eli Drinkwitz, because I feel like they're just a downgraded version of ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're a little nerdy, but you're cooler than Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, she wants a doughy guy. Like, you know, you already have a doughy guy. You got me.
Yeah.
You don't need Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel doesn't scream sexy. I'm sorry. If he's listening, I apologize. Brother Austin Pope, please don't tell Josh what I said. But, you know, that would be pretty tough to get cucked by Josh Heupel.
Yeah, that would be a tough scene. Tough scene. Tough scene. Brother G-Man.
Kirby Smart would have me very angry just because, really, Kirby?
I would be angry, yeah.
Kirby would make me the angriest, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
I would be angry over Kirby.
Josh Heupel would make me the saddest. Kirby would make me the angriest, where, you know, you might realize while these husbands snap and get the gat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just shoot everybody. I don't know. That might put me there. That might put me there. Heupel would just send me like, really? Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever talk to me again. I hate you.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart, I might let the chopper spray. And it would fix some of our problems at Tennessee, at least. I could be a hero.
On this issue of Reed's Ranch, we delve into the topic of why domestic violence happens.
Old two birds, one stone thing.
Brother G-Man, what's your level of excitement for the 2021 football season? I'm going to go with like a 3.
Scale of 1 to 10, I am going with a 1.
Yep.
Now, like, if it goes, I mean, like, by the time we get closer to season, I'll be more interested. Yeah, it'll go excited. Up. Excited, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, if we can get if the COVID is over to the point where we can have 100% capacity, although that doesn't seem very likely. Like, I look forward to fellowship. I look forward to doing like a tailgate maybe for the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
I like going to see everybody. I want to be able to go out there and do that. Now, does that get to happen? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, I'm at a 1.
Yeah.
1. Yeah. Intrigued, 4. Excited, 1.
Yeah. Brother J. Ross, 17. 1 to 10, how important was this DC hire? Well, J. Ross, I'm going to go with like a 3 or a 4 because I think at the end of the day, your assistant coaches are a reflection of your head coach. And if your head coach is shitty, then your assistant coach is probably going to be pretty shitty. So it probably is not going to make that much difference because I think Josh Heupel probably sucks. So I don't see Tim Banks making a huge difference in the long-term outlook on Josh Heupel from my vantage point.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah.
Now, I will say, like, if he's good, it'll give me some confidence that he can at least identify some talent. Although, like, you know, I don't know what number he was. Like, I don't know what the hell he was doing.
I don't even know if it would be because he fell ass backwards into this dude, so...
And I kind of feel like he was just had a list of black assistant coaches in the country and just sort of working his way down them.
Yeah.
It was either black coaches or coaches who at one time had ties to Tennessee.
So
that was his list. Should have hired OJ Mayo, bro, to be head coach.
Gerard. Not OJ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not OJ. He's on meth. Yeah, we don't want to hire him.
Yep.
He got kicked out of the NBA for meth. Producer, cut that out of the podcast. There was a commercial for orange juice on a Wendy's commercial, so I just it was on my mind. Sorry.
It happens. It happens.
Apologies to Gerard. Gerard. God damn it.
Brother Chad, our first patron. Scenario, you're marrying a girl with children. What number of children is the cutoff before you say no? How many children is too many?
So we're marrying a girl, not dating a girl. Are we dating? Is this like for initial dates or am I already in love?
Apparently you're marrying this girl.
Oh man, at this age, I wouldn't want more than two. Like I'd have to really love this girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem being a stepfather. I don't have any problems with that, I guess. But I'm not doing more than two. That'd be walking into some trouble, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know that I could date a girl with children. To answer Brother Chad's question, the cutoff for me...
I don't think I could either. I mean, I could do one.
I don't know that I could. So... But what I do know, I haven't either, is that if I could get over it, because I really love this girl, the absolute max number of children is one. But I don't know that I could do that. But the absolute max would be one for sure.
I'm thinking I could do two, but it'd have to be perfect otherwise. And she'd have to have some money. And preferably the baby daddy has died.
Yeah.
And left her that money. That'd be even better. Tragic accident. Like his parents are still in the picture. They got good grandparents. They love me because I'm helping raise the kid. And I let them know, like, hey, this is respectful. Your husband seems like a great guy. Kind of like, was it Adam Schefter who wrote the book about like how his wife's husband died at 9/11?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, here's a hero.
Yeah.
I could maybe write a book, make some money off of it. I look like a good guy for finding a broken home, broken family, helping her heal. The kids, you know, when they finally call me dad, I have to tell them, you know, I really appreciate it, but, you know, I love you, but your dad was a great man, and you have a great daddy. Then we cry and hug, and it's the whole thing. But, hey, like, I'm still going to walk you down the aisle, baby, whenever it comes time for you to get married. And then the grandparents are there again, and, you know, just the whole thing. I ask them permission to marry their mom. Not the grandparents, but the kids. It's the whole thing. But again, preferably he's died somewhere like along like a 9/11 or somewhere similar to that.
Brother Blue Moon Vol, question for John. Do you think the City Boys are shitting on the league?
I mean, yeah, I think they're making a mockery of the sport, honestly, this oil money. Like, and you just, when you have, what, $300 million sitting on the bench or whatever it is, I mean, they're like the LA Dodgers. Are the Dodgers shooting on baseball? Yeah, the Dodgers are going to keep shooting on baseball. It just is what it is. I don't see how it'd be fun rooting for a team like that just spends more money than everybody. You would think you'd be like, hey, I want it to be a little fair. But either way, yes, Man City is shitting on the whole world, really, honestly. But again, they spend more money than everybody. Doesn't seem like anything to really flex about. Really ruining the sport, to be honest.
So they are 7 points up, and they've played one less game than Manchester United.
They're beating the hell out of everybody.
I'm surprised they've even lost a game.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing that they're not even further up with all the money they spend. But congrats to Blue Moon Vol, who, of course, grew up in Manchester. Congrats to him on having such a good team and picking them over Man United. And his teams, the Manchester City, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Spurs, they all make logical sense.
They're very geographically centered. You have to give them credit for that.
Yep. Probably had nothing to do with Tim Duncan dominating the 2000s, and probably had nothing to do with Peyton Manning being on the Colts. And Man City had nothing to do with them spending all the money and becoming really good. I'm sure that is all coincidence, and he has deep ties to every one of them.
It's like a 10-minute walk from Lucas Oil Stadium to the Alamo, and then from right around there, you can go to where does City play at? Etihad, or whatever, however you say it, stadium. I mean, some oil baron chic guy. It's all bullshit, BMV. Have some dignity. You're a good man. Have some dignity.
And if you're going to do it, don't talk shit. If you're going to do it, don't talk shit.
Yeah, agree.
I might as well become a Dodgers fan here in Tennessee and talk shit to everybody. I'm a Dodgers and Alabama and Lakers fan. That's how you sound. That's how you sound, brother BMV.
Rough.
Huge Tiger Woods fan, too, from the 2000s, but then I've moved on.
Brother, it's Harambe for 2069. Has two questions. Well, has two parts to this question. Part one is, I love you both. Thank you, brother. It's Harambe for 2069. I love you as well, very much.
I love you. I love you, too. It's Harambe for 2069.
Part two, any tips for my first big boy job? Just graduated and was wondering if you had any tips for the whole hiring process. I majored in math, if that helps. Just be yourself, bro. Just be yourself.
I say just lie. Figure it out on the job. Say you can handle all this stuff. They're not going to make you prove it in an interview. Just lie. You'll be able to figure it out.
Just be yourself,
You'll be able to figure it out. Just Google it, bro. Oh, how do I do this formula? Google. Oh, how do I work the spreadsheet? Google. You can YouTube anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The answer to all of the world's problems are on the internet, bro. Just lie. And don't tell them about your internet cult. Don't talk about that in the interview.
Or your username.
Yeah, don't tell them what you post online as. Try to hide that. If you do get hired, don't post on Discord on company Wi-Fi. Especially with the name, it's Harambe 42069. And I want to say that we've already talked about this before, and you had promised you would drop the it's out of Harambe 42069. But either way, it's Harambe 42069. We love you too.
Brother Logie Bears, a.k.a. Logan, has a question for each of us. Question one for John. If you could be a character in a movie, what character in what movie can be as little of a role as you want, but don't pick some extra?
Do you have any suggestions on this answer?
I do not. I've been trying to think about the answer to the question he has for me.
I think my answer, I gave it a little thought. I think my answer is going to be Ben Affleck in Armageddon.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Good answer.
I saved the world. I'm marrying the girl who saved the world. We're never going to have to buy anything again. You know how cool it would be to save the world? And, let's face it, Liv Tyler's a bombshell in that movie with those sexy little lips. I'm friends with Billy Bob Thornton's character. I can do whatever I want the rest of my life. And again, I saved the world. Or at least marry the girl saving the world.
Good answer.
I thought John Wick, but that's too much pressure. He doesn't really get any accolades, you know what I mean? Like, John's not actually out here. To me, it's all about getting the accolades.
Yeah.
Or somewhere where I get really rich. Like, Danny Ocean would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out here making all these bank heists and stuff. That'd be kind of cool. Or casino heists. Batman. Also be pretty cool to be Bruce Wayne. You know, that would be kind of cool.
It would be much cooler to be Bruce Wayne than to be Batman, I think.
Well, you got to do both. That's the thing. That's the point.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like Bruce Wayne could easily just sit on the sideline, bro, and not do anything.
I agree.
Or just donate all of his money and helped out people that way, but he spent it to kick ass, and, you know, he didn't need the respect. You know, he put the mask on.
Brother Logie Bears, a.k.a. Logan, has a question for me. What would happen if Earth's rotation suddenly stopped and started spinning the opposite direction? Well, I don't know. I would think that we would just, like, be screwed, but maybe it would just be, like, you know, night becomes day and day becomes night and something happens to the seasons. I don't really know. I would think it would, like, mess things up big time for a while, though.
The toilets would start going the opposite direction, too, I believe.
There you go. You
flush the toilet.
Yeah. I would think we would be totally screwed for, you know, possibly period. But, you know, I would think that it would mess the seasons and the days up. But I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I feel like that we'd go, like, into an ice age.
Yeah.
I think, like, we'd freeze. I don't know why. I don't have the science to back it up. He didn't ask me, but that's just where my mind went.
I mean,
that's... along with the toilets going the opposite direction. All right, is that all the questions? Good job by us. Anything else you want to add, Seth?
No, I love you all.
How much snow did you get?
We did not get any. It's just ice. It might get some tonight, but it's just sleet and ice, and it's terrible. It's like 28 degrees.
Are you safe right now?
Yes, I am. I am. My lights start. My lights. We about 5 miles away from us has lost power, and like right before the podcast, our lights started flickering, and I was just like, "Shit, man, here we go." But it stayed on. I have had power throughout the entire podcast, obviously. So
you are thriving, my friend.
I am.
I'm glad that you got to keep your power.
I am too. I am as well.
I love you. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Bye bye.
See ya.
Yeah, this 20 appeal. Ran up a check, this patty spaghetti, made 20 more mil. Drop on the opera, then jump on the chopper and go to the hills. My youngin' gon' call a duty with that chopper and he wanna kill. Yeah, shoulda done a nigga, did it on purpose. I tell my other bitch, go with my other bitch, just to get my other bitch a new Birkin. Pretty white toes, pussy was perfect. Fuck in the back of the bag with the curse. Fuck in the back of this bitch, all the squirts. No, you didn't get a shit on my purse. Ooh, go get this bitch a new press. Cool, I saw my car, I'm feeling. She had a lane, she healing. Now she on the plane, she chilling. And she supposed to pick on the Grammy, feel it. I know that nigga won't kill her, cause she in the villa, going hand with tequila. Man, in my plan to get rich, I'll pull up, I jump out the lane, and jigger. Whoa, this that ghost shit. Lil' bitch tryna act smart with me, but she don't know shit. 7-Eleven, I bought all the backwoods, sodas and Trojans. It's like 500 bitches at the crib, but we still let them all win. Whoa, this that ghost shit. This that stunt on them niggas, might put two watches on both wrists. My trap booming, these niggas out here ain't having no motion. Back in the day, we was hopping in whips and riding it stolen. Rolls Royce truck with the freak of the week. Chasing the dreams, I'ma pass it to me. Nigga, I'm a wolf, can't hang with a sheep. Water on my neck, but my chain at the beach. Pull up to your block with a motherfucking thotty. Every nigga with me down, I go and catch a body. Y'all nigga trapping at a hotel lobby. Wipe your nigga nose like that motherfucking study. I'm in the trap with a dick, bitch. Yeah, I used to hustle, had to risk it. Most of niggas fried like a fish stick. If he a snitch, can't kick it. I'm with the gang and we deep. Just like a dog put a nigga to sleep. That little bitch tryna see me on the sneak. No TLC, but a nigga got a creep. Shoot like JJ. Spin a nigga block like a Beyblade. If I hit the block, that's a payday. Hurricane APA, baby. Made up my plan to get rich, I'll pull up, I jump out the land, me a thugger. Can't let it cripple, don't cut her. Feel like Bing Rams, it's guns and butter. Whoa, this that ghost shit. Little bitch tryna act smart with me, but she don't know shit. 7-Eleven, I bought all the backwoods, sodas and Trojans. It's like 500 bitches at the crib, but we still let them all win. Whoa, this that ghost shit. This that stunt on them niggas, might put two watches on both wrists. My trap booming, these niggas out here ain't having no motion. Back in the day, we was hopping in whips and riding it stolen.
Abracadabra, my bitch way better. My wrist out the motherfucker better. Fish parquet, I smoke on the face. Green diamonds, I fucked up my bladder. Motherfucker trend, I been with my kids in the spot, cause family matters. Everything else you speaking about, might get your ass whooped like a pedal. Slap me, yeah, fish scale, no scale. Wait up, I spent 20 mil on the crib. Head up, in Dubai, but the bitch from Israel. Call my phone, you find as hell. In designer, but I would kill. You done sipped to a form, so I can tell. Yeah. My bitch, wrist clean. I flex, don't bend. I am the king. 100 bands can clean up the scene. Had your wife and you thought it was a dream. Nigga can't do the dough with their bling. I took off in the foreign machine.
Whoa, this that ghost shit. Lil' bitch tryna act smart with me, but she don't know shit. 7-Eleven, I bought all the backwoods, sodas and Trojans. It's like 500 bitches at the crib, but we still let them all win. Whoa, this that ghost shit. This that stunt on them niggas, might put two watches on both wrists. My trap booming, these niggas out here ain't having no motion. Back in the day, we was hopping in whips and riding it stolen.
Big racks, man, and big racks, this big business. Pull to the club with a pole on me, niggas thinking I've been fishing. Find me on the yacht full of badass bitches like hoes.